When Californians head to the polls next Tuesday for the state's primary elections, they will also decide on four American Indian gaming propositions on the state ballot. Originally, compacts signed by Governor Schwarzenegger and four Southern California tribes, the agreements would significantly change the relationship between state and local governments with Indian casinos. Though already ratified by the California legislature last year, groups opposed to the compacts gathered enough signatures to force the issue to be put on the ballot. Proponents of Propositions 94 through 97 say that the deals allowing four Indian gaming casinos to add thousands of new slot machines will ultimately benefit California's budget shortfall. In exchange for expansions, a larger share of revenues from the casinos would be paid to the state annually, in addition to a quarter of all new profits from the new slot machines. Opposition to the compacts has come from a diverse group, including competing Indian casinos, a horse track owner, hotel and casino worker unions, and Native American groups. Some tribes are concerned that the propositions, if passed, will largely concentrate gambling revenues into the hands of only four tribes. Others are demanding that the California Nation's Indian Gaming Association use increased revenues to restart California's DQ University, the nation's first indigenously controlled college. My guests this morning are Quanah Brightman, he is the Vice President of United Native Americans, Inc., and John Gomez, Sr., Vice Chairman of the American Indian Rights and Resources Organization. Welcome to Uprising, Quanah and John.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thanks so much for joining us. John, I'd like to start with you. So I explained a little bit about these propositions and what it would mean for a yes vote. But can you explain for our listeners what the agreement currently is with the California legislature that was signed by Governor Schwarzenegger?
Basically, what these big four, and I'm calling Saquon, Pechanga, Morongo, and... Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Basically, these big four signed a sweetheart deal with the governor in which they were guaranteed by the governor to allow them to have 17,000 additional machines, and for that, the state would get approximately what they're saying, which is very, very, very overrated. $9 billion over 23 years. And they were given other concessions and virtually gave everything away. We, the proponents of it, by the way, that would gathered 3 million citizen signatures to oppose this, feel that the state of California could have gotten a very, 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 very better deal than the one that the governor gave away the, so to say, gave away the store to. And that's why we're there, because... it shortchanges, you know, the police and fire departments in our school. There's no, not one penny guaranteed for schools. It's unfair to taxpayers. These deals with the big fours manipulate the revenue sharing formula and decide how much to underpay the state. You know, no independent auditors would choose which slot machines to pay on. Even the state's independent nonpartisan legislative analysts say that these revenue promises are unrealistic. Non-gaming tribes will not receive a penny more. In fact, they may receive less money because these people, these big four, would be allowed to pull out of the revenue sharing program. So it's a very bad deal all the way around, and we feel that these need to go back and renegotiate it so that the taxpayers of the state of California can get a better deal. I mean, they're making billions and billions of dollars, and yet they only want to give barely less than 1% of any budget of any department in the state of California, and that's not good enough for the people.
Hmm. I want to bring Quanah Brightman into the conversation. You're the Vice President of United Native Americans, Inc. What is your main contention with these propositions, 94 through 97?
Well, what really bothers me, myself, and our organization is the fact that, quite honestly, these tribes are putting out there, these four main gaming tribes that are basically trying to put a stronghold on Indian gaming here in the state of California, they are putting out to the general public and to the general media that they're giving towards education, that they're giving towards, you know, human resources, that they're giving towards all these programs that are supposed to be beneficial for the Indian people, not just California Indians, but all tribal nations. See, that's been part of our main problem for Indian people, is that a lot of mainstream people don't realize that there are many different tribal nations in this state. There are over 100 different nations in this state alone. And as you know, there's supposedly 70 of these tribes out of the 100 that are opposing this. Yet, when Proposition 5 was first introduced to expand Indian gaming to this Las Vegas style, all of the tribes agreed to support this. Now you have a division right now where a lot of the real people who actually see what's going on with these propositions and how they're shortchanging not only the taxpayers of this state, but their own people, that's when it comes into issue that we really need to enlighten people on what's really going on. Where is the money going? Why is it the fact that DQ University is the only tribal college we have in this state, mind you, and the only off-Indian reservation school that we have in America that service not only northern Native American people, but southern Native American people? And it lost accreditation in 2004 and through the Western Associate Schools of Colleges, which is called WASC, and they're now $280,000 in debt. Now, $280,000 for me or you, being an average person, would be a lot of money. But for one of these gaming tribes, when they're raking in an annual budget of $7 billion a year in their industry, that's a write-off. Quite honestly, I mean, just that would look so good for them to actually donate to their only tribal college. They would look like heroes.
And have they ever supported the college?
No. And that's the problem. This school limped along since it was founded back in 1970. November 17th, 1970 is when they acquired the land. And there's been a lot of people saying that our organization has no say in what's going on at this school. But let me tell you something. The founding fathers who actually got this land, you know, from the federal government, because this was the Relocation Act and part of actually reacquiring this land from the federal government on this takeover that took place back in 1970 to acquire this land, the 643 acres of prime land near UC Davis. And our organization were the ones that actually wrote the proposals. Dr. Jack D. Forbes, David Risling, who is also a California mm-hmm. native, my father taught there for over 28 years. We do have a say in what is going on since the board that we do have, quite honestly, I think a lot of people are turned off on.
I want to remind our listeners, my guests are Quanah Brightman, Vice President of United Native Americans, Inc., and we also heard earlier from John Gomez, Senior Vice Chairman of the American Indian Rights and Resources Organization. We're discussing Propositions 94 through 97 on next Tuesday's ballot. These are concerning the Indian gaming compacts that were signed by the governor and agreed to by the legislature last year. And, John, so just to reiterate, make it very clear for our listeners, a yes vote on 94 through 97 would simply reaffirm what has already been agreed to by the legislature and the governor, but a no vote would overturn this vast expansion of these casinos by the Big Four tribes. Is that correct?
Yes, but it would also force the Big Four back to the negotiating table
mm-hmm.
with the governor, with the concerns of the people of the state of California, because their voice has been heard, to renegotiate a better, fairer deal for all Californians, taxpayers, Indians, workers, everybody involved in this, everybody who's a stakeholder in this, and that's what it would do.
Now, let me ask you, earlier you said, John, that it's not very clear that the revenues that they're projecting that would add to the state budget will really come through. But isn't it certainly, you know, if these tribes were to put forward a large percentage, 25% of their revenues on any machines beyond the 3,000 slot machines, 15% on its net revenues, wouldn't that still be a large windfall for a state whose budget is in deep, deep trouble?
Okay, the state's budget was in trouble way before Indian gaming and negotiating of these deals. But to answer your question, there's no provisions for independent audit of these machines. The audit would be by tribal representatives, so it's very limited oversight on what can be audited and what's not. If they went in there and said that they put so many X number machines on the floor, but they only got this much money for them, you would have to take them at their word. If they disputed it, then it would go to arbitration, and the money would be held up. But for the state to even begin to get money, they would have to start generating immediately. And for the state to even get any type of money that they even suggest they talk about, they would have to put 17,000 machines on the floor, which is bigger than 12 of the largest casinos in Vegas. That includes in the Mirage, MGM Grand, Mandalay Bay, and Bellagio together. And they would have mega casinos, and that's how that would happen. But to say that they would do that is, again, some more deceptive advertisement by these tribes.
Quanah, let's talk about the amount of money that's being spent on urging a yes vote on these propositions. Nearly $84 million spent by mostly the tribes themselves into their campaign. But what is the motivation? Certainly it's clear what the motivation of the tribes is. What is the motivation from the legislature and particularly the governor to sign these deals?
That's what's so appalling for Indian people abroad is the fact that now, see, most people don't realize the fact that Indian gaming, most officials and most people who are actually in charge of the money, they're not Indian. They are not Indian. Even in the state of Florida, it's documented fact that the Jewish mob was involved with the startup of Indian gaming when it first started really big in Florida. Now, if you look at Florida right now, the Seminole tribe actually owns the name of the Hard Rock Cafe franchise. Now, that's a multi-billion-dollar franchise that's stationed all around the world. Now, you look at California. California, yes, they are trying to, you know, expand Indian gaming. And quite honestly, it would be a good thing if they would actually honor the agreements to support Indian education and to support tribal sovereignty. Tribal sovereignty, when you think about it as an individual, sovereignty starts with the individuals. It starts with your mindset. It starts with just giving towards people in need. That's part of the Indian code that we have as indigenous people of this continent, is when someone comes to your home and they're hungry, you offer them food. When they are thirsty, you offer them something to drink. You don't just look at them and go, oh, look at me, I have the money. That's colonialism and that's elitism. We don't practice that amongst traditional Native American people. And we're just asking these gaming tribes to just share these revenues as most traditional people would.
I want to go back to what you said earlier and just clarify the origins of this industry in Florida. You used the term Jewish mob?
Yes.
Can you explain that? I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand.
Yeah, believe me, it's mind-blowing. Most people don't realize the fact that when you look at Indian gaming, when you go, like the other day, I went to Seniga. I went to Seniga personally to request for them in person. I even sent them a letter with our proposal on what it would take to basically get DQU up and operational. Now, if they gave a budget of a minimum of $3 to $5 million per year or per semester to actually help resurrect the only tribal college we have in this state, to renovate it, these dorms that we have up there are just dilapidated. The facilities are dilapidated.
Quanah, I wanted to just clarify, though, your use of the term Jewish mob specifically.
Yes.
What does that mean? And can you back it up?
Oh, yeah. If you actually look it up and if you ask some tribal officials out there in the Seminoles, quite honestly, they're going through a lot of the issues that we are going through out here in the state of California. If you look it up online, if you do the research, like a lot of people have, you will see the fact that, quite honestly, Indian gaming abroad is being controlled by the mob. And if the mob is basically involved in our affairs, then it's not tribal affairs.
And what do you mean by the mob?
Exactly what I just said.
Okay.
There are different mobs involved on this. There are a lot of different mobs involved on this. That are, quite honestly, they're just doing swindling, ugly tactics to try to persuade the vote on this ugly legislation that, quite honestly, it does need to be renegotiated.
Okay.
And a better deal for not only California voters, but for the educators that need revenue. In case you didn't notice, They are basically funding the war by donating money towards the state to this man Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is nothing but he has openly stated that he is for this war, and he's against brown people. He doesn't care about the general public, because if he did, the tribal college in this state would have never fell, and certainly not for four years now.
I want to finally turn back to John Gomez. In our conversation before we did this interview, you mentioned that your organization, the American Indian Rights and Resources Organization, is not specifically opposed to gambling but the gaming industry, but specifically opposed to these kinds of compacts. So if the tribes, the big four tribes, were to go back and negotiate what you thought was a fairer deal, where poorer tribes would get a piece of the pie, where there would be the sort of support and more accountability, you would be for it?
Well, I think all of Californians would be for it, the taxpayers especially when you figure in the fact that these tribes are making billions and billions of dollars profit, that they should be giving more to the people in the state of California. They forgot that in 1999 and 2000, when they went to the referendum process and asked the voters to approve Prop 5 and Prop 1A for gaming, that's what it was for. It was to benefit all Indians and to benefit the taxpayers of the state of California. And this has not come about. We have an opportunity to right this, to make it right. You know, the Big Four tribes are some of the largest contributors to state politicians. And it's not a wonder. It's no surprise to see that among many of the politicians that they endorse, that they vote the way that the Big Four want them to vote, you know. But, you know, there's people that know the truth, like the California Federation of Teachers and the California School Employees Association. They oppose these deals because, contrary to Big Four advertising campaign promises, not one penny is guaranteed for our schools.
Right.
You know, and as far as shortchanging our police and fire departments, you know, it's appalling. That's why you have the Professional Firefighters Association and the California Federation of Teachers again that oppose these deals because of this. And these people have put on a deceptive ad. They brought these people out and showed you these people to make you believe that it's for this and it's for that. They have this lady in a classroom setting saying that she was nominated for Teacher of the Year, saying that this is going to be good for education. But not one penny of this money is guaranteed for education. And I believe with these billions and billions and billions of dollars that are being profited by every year, that the state of California, especially the taxpayers, should be able to get more than this little pittance that they rely on the tribes to say how much they're going to give them, because there's no independent audit of how much they're going to give the state of California.
I want to thank the two of you very much for joining us today. John Gomez, Senior Vice Chairman of the American Indian Rights and Resources Organization, and Quanah Brightman, Vice President of United Native Americans, Inc. The two of them take a no position on Propositions 94 through 97, which if people vote yes on these propositions, they would only confirm what the Big Four tribes have signed last year with the California legislature and the governor. A no vote would send the tribes back to the negotiating table with the legislature to negotiate different deals. That's Propositions 94 through 97.